and the poets. But here we see our main text from John chapter 11. We'll read to begin with from verse 1 to round about verse 15. Let's begin reading in the precious word of God. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then, after that, saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go, that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And I do pray the Lord to bless the reading of his precious word to us this morning at Bethany. Well, before I preach, we'll just come to the Lord in prayer. Almighty, eternal God, thou art the most high God, the one with whom all men have to do, whether they are believers or unbelievers. At the end of this extremely short journey, all men shall meet God. And we pray, Father, that you would hold this thought in our hearts as we look into this important passage of Scripture this morning. Cleanse us from our sins, Lord, that which interferes with our relationship with thee. I pray, Lord, that you would cleanse me from my sins and move me this morning, that I may be thy mouthpiece, that the people would hear yourself speaking. Hide me behind the cross, as often is said. And we thank thee, Father, that we have the living word of God in our hearts. We who have believed and have entered into that rest, we who have been plucked out of darkness and stand upon the perfect righteousness of Christ and have put on Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that it is a simple salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Father, let us hold on to thee and unto thy words this morning. Help us to consider, firstly, the Jewish people, but also ourselves, and how we can apply this passage of Scripture to ourselves in this day and age in which we live, in this great dispensation of the church age. And we pray, Father, that you would move us. We pray, Lord, that you would bless us, that you would draw nigh to those who are unable to be here due to ill health or whatever it is. But also, Lord, speak to us at the point of our needs. And I pray also, Lord, that you would make us feel uncomfortable this morning, that we would be convicted, Lord, to love thee and to serve thee and to know that thou art the thrice holy God and we must work for thee while it is day. And yet, Lord, we thank thee for the comfort that we find in this passage of Scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fact that he is our life. Oh, Father, move amongst us this morning, we pray, and we trust thee for all things and thy blessing. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The Gospels The Gospels illustrate, or rather record, the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming of the King of Israel, and of course the King of the whole world. But they illustrate that and how he, the King, was presented to Israel for their acceptation, but of course he was not accepted and he was rejected. The vast majority of the narratives in Scripture, in the Gospel accounts here, is to, as a witness to Israel. But we Gentiles, I assume we're all Gentiles here this morning, also eat of the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. But anyway, the point of this passage, especially in John, when you see the wonderful miracles, they all point to Christ as Messiah, and particularly as Messiah as God in the Gospel of John, to the Jewish people, to let them have absolutely no doubt whatsoever who he was, and that he was the Messiah and the Son of God, and that he was to be glorified. And in fact, we see that in this passage of Scripture, and we've already read it. We just have to turn back a few verses in chapter 10. What is the context leading up to this? You know, the continual battle of words between the Lord and the unbelieving Jewish people at the time, the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the temple authorities and so forth, the unbelievers. Yet interspersed within this gospel are narratives of the believing remnant of the Jewish people, such as Mary, Martha, Lazarus, for instance. But we see here in chapter 10, let's just look at verse 30, that great statement of Christ's deity. Verse 30, it says there, I and my Father are one. The Jewish people and those opposed to him of the Jewish people knew what he was saying there. There are many cults today, such as the JWs and the Mormons and all the rest of them, which deny Christ's deity. But they are outside of Christ, so they would deny his deity. But it says here, then the Jews took up stones, look at that, verse 31, to stone him. Why would they do that? Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these do ye stone me? And they say, it's not because of your good works or the miracles or these undeniable things that you're doing, but because you are making yourself God. They knew who he was claiming to be. And do we this morning know who Christ is? He is God. That's what they say there. Look at the end of verse 33. But thou, being a man, they meant a mere man, as opposed to the Son of Man, the last Adam. Just a mere man. Thou makest thyself God. And, of course, the Lord answers them. But we'll go back down to, let's look at verse 39 again. 38. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Again, they were angry. So angry, zealous for their false beliefs, that they took up stones. Well, it says in verse 39, therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hands because his time was not yet come. And verse 40, and went away beyond Jordan. So Christ went away beyond Jordan, possibly to Bethabara. So he was on the other side of Jordan, into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And there he was abiding for a reason, and we'll come to that now. And many resorted unto him thither. So if this was, if this was this picture of map of Israel here, okay, and Jerusalem and Bethany, which is 1 3/4 miles from Jerusalem, so at the very center of Judaism, and then a 25-mile journey probably over to the east, to the River Jordan. So he had left Judea because the Jews had sought to stone him and destroy him. So he'd gone, so he was abiding now over by the River Jordan, about 25 miles, a day's journey. And many, look at verse 41, resorted unto him, the Jewish people, and said, John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true. and many believed on him there. And as we prayed just now, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Many more of the Jewish remnant were added to the fold, as it were, and became believers on the Lord Jesus Christ, their Messiah. But now let's look. So this is all about the witness of who Christ was to the Jewish people. But there's such precious, beautiful doctrine and truth in this chapter 11. Now, a certain man. So he was a certain man. This was true. This actually happened. And it was a man certain, ordained from eternity past by the Lord for the Lord's purposes and his glory to be showed through this man, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So he was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They were here in Bethany, 1¾ miles from Jerusalem, and they sent a message by a messenger 25 miles to the east, to the River Jordan, saying, Lord, behold. And we know when the King James Bible says behold, it means be held with this. It doesn't just mean see, as you have in a modern version or something like that, but behold, be held with this. He whom thou lovest is sick. Isn't it wonderful, peppered through the Gospels, when we hear the individual names of those who the Lord Jesus Christ loves? Like after his resurrection, and Mary turns and he says, Mary. And he knows her name. Anyway, it says here in verse 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. He who knows the end from the beginning, the eternal one, God, Jehovah God, incarnate in the flesh here, knows the end from the beginning and knows very well that Lazarus will die. And yet he says, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. So what is death? Let's look at it. But for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. We'll see what death is in a few verses. But that the glory of God might be showed forth. Look at that at the end of verse 4. This sickness is for the glory of God, and then comma, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So obviously that is the connection. God is about to be glorified in the eyes of the Jewish people as a witness to them, for another chance for them to accept their king, their Messiah king. God was to be glorified, but it is the Son of God who is there, who is to be glorified, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So much constantly throughout the Gospels do we see the deity of Christ here. There's no doubt about it whatsoever. That the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. For God so loved the world. He loved you today, wherever you are sitting. He loved and he loves you. He loves all of the people outside of these walls too. Now, what did he do when he heard that he who he loves and who the only one who could do something about this sickness, what did he do when he heard that the one who he loves was sick? Did he suddenly panic and say, right, get my phone, get my wallet, let's go off to Jerusalem, let's go off to Bethany, let's call 999, and I don't want to be irreverent. No, he didn't. Let's read it. And it says, when he heard therefore that he was sick, verse 6, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He just stayed there in that nowhere place over in Jordan there. He stayed there for 2 days for a reason. The message, when Lazarus here in Bethany was sick at the point of death, his sisters decided the only thing they could do was call Christ. They sent a messenger on 1 day's journey over to Jordan. So it is a day later already. And now 2 more days, he decided to stay there. He just sat there. He abode there still. in the same place where he was. Then after that, verse 7, after that, saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. Not forgetting why he left Judea, because of the unbelieving Jewish remnant who were there ready to stone him and to kill him. Let us go into Judea again. And you could imagine his disciples round about him thinking, hold on a minute. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? And you know, nothing can stop the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. And anyway, whatever difficulty that we face, whatever is in our path in life, that insurmountable difficulty, whatever it is, if the Lord's purpose is for us to go, we go. You see, it's an example, and here he's saying in verse 9, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Basically, what he's saying is, we go. Christ knows that only he can lay down his life. No Jewish authority, no high priest, no Roman soldier, no Pontius Pilate can take his life from him. Only he lays down his own life. He is God. He is life. And we'll see more of that in a moment. If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. And an application for that is that we must walk and walk in Christ, the only one who is the light of the world. And we are to walk and work while it is yet day. We were on a conference in Mid Wales this week up in Kevinlea, Newtown. And it was quite convicting. It was about standing from Ephesians chapter 6, but also surrendering to the Lord for his purposes. Do you know, it says here, there are 12 hours in the day, and prophetically, it is twilight now. Prophetically, it is twilight. The days are coming to an end. We can see the darkness approaching, and the day of the Lord's coming. Well, the Lord will take us up to be with him, if we are believers in him. But it is still just day. So what are we doing about it? What are we doing for the Lord? What are we serving? How are we serving the Lord? It's all very well for us to be sitting in church week in and week out, and perhaps the Lord would have you be here to encourage and Pastor Darren, and that's brilliant. But I'm sure Pastor Darren would even prefer it if this church was empty, because everyone here was out serving the Lord in various mission fields. Now, I'm not saying what we should do here as a church, you know, it's not up to me, but I'm just saying individually, what are we doing for the Lord in our lives? You know, young people, if you're young here today, you know, perhaps you're thinking about, yes, I've just got that university place, or I've just finished university or whatever, you know, have you prayed about it? Only what's done for Christ will last. This life is so incredibly short. Some of you perhaps already know the oncomings of your twilight years, if you see what I mean. Let's go for Christ. If he's speaking to your heart, if he has been speaking to your heart about serving him, do not delay. Do not delay. You know, I was a great ditherer when the Lord was calling me to preach. Yes, his timing is perfect, and he works on you, and you have to be faithful in the small things before doing the great things for the Lord. But yet, it is not good to dither. Serve the Lord while it is yet day. But if a man, verse 10, walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Now, verse 11, these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. So, Christ knew that he died, and he was abiding there another couple of days. He knew that he was dead already. And he said to his disciples, Lazarus sleepeth. And his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. You know, it is sleep. It is sleep. For the believer, if you're born again of the Spirit of God today in Christ, it is only sleep. You will not die. Yes, medically, you will die unless the Lord comes. But medically, you will die, but it is nothing. It is as nothing. You know, the Bible says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Death is a precious gift of God. That's what death is, because otherwise you would live forever in your fallen state. And you must die, go into the ground, to be glorified. Do you see how precious death is? Of course, if you're outside of Christ, it is the worst thing. The worst thing that could possibly happen to you in this world is like a picnic compared to an eternity without Christ in the lake of fire. Sleeping is all it is for the believer. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But of course, he knew that they thought he was just taking a rest, taking a nap. Then said in verse 14, Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Just for them to understand. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. Why was he glad that he was not there? That he couldn't stop Lazarus from dying because he wasn't there. For your sakes, for his disciples, and for also for the greater Jewish believer, people, the nation around him as well, for their sakes, he was not there. To the intent, and here we are starting to see this word, to the intent, ye may believe. Ye may believe. Salvation must be a heart knowledge, but it also is a head knowledge. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So now they're going. So they're over there in the, by the River Jordan. 3 days after Lazarus died. And now he said, let us go to Judea again. Nevertheless, let us be going. Now, let us go unto him. Verse 16, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Now, there are various views on that. Okay, I'm not here to espouse a particular view on that. The simple view is that Thomas didn't really understand what Christ was talking about. But I don't think that. Either it was talking about let us die with him, with Christ, because the Jewish people were going to stone him, and he knew that he was going to awake Lazarus out of sleep. You know, it could have been that, and it would be a precious thing to be awoken out of sleep, out of death, by Christ. But that we may die with him, probably speaking about Christ himself. Anyway, verse 17, I'm just moving on very quickly for the sake of time. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days. And that's very significant. And we'll mention that in a little while. He had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, about a mile and three quarters. And many, look at this, this is what it's all about. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So Christ could have panicked. Well, he couldn't have, because he's God. But let's get this scenario. He might have got rushed over to Lazarus. But he had a purpose in everything. The sickness that you are going through, medically, mentally, or whatever is going through, happening in your lives and in your hearts at the moment, the difficulty in your life is for a purpose. You know, Joseph was sent down into Egypt, but the Bible says at the end of Genesis, but God meant it unto good, to save many people alive. his brethren, the Israelites there. So there's a reason for it all. But anyway, he was laid in the grave for 4 days already, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So the purpose here was for all the Jewish people to be gathered. They were gathering about at the fourth day, and there's an important Jewish rabbinical understanding to this. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know. And I want us to think about that phrase, I know. Do you know? This morning. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. I know. She knew. How did she know? And we look at that in a moment from the Old Testament. And more to the point, let's read the Lord's answer, verse 23. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. How is it that she knew? She knew. She had the knowledge of that. The only way that she could possibly know, because she knew the scriptures. She knew the word of God, what we call the Old Testament. She knew it. And the resurrection, which we read about in the next verse, but the resurrection is an Old Testament truth as well. You know, you just have to turn back to a few passages of scripture, and we'll go through this very quickly. Exodus chapter 6. We spoke on this yesterday here at Bethany. Exodus chapter 6. And verse 2, it says, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. This is when Moses was distraught because Pharaoh was making life even more difficult for the children of Israel. I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So, here we see in past tense, the Lord appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob. Okay, now verse 4. And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers. So they were only pilgrims, and they were only strangers in Canaan, which was to become Israel, the land of Israel. But they were only strangers then. But look at the language of verse 4. I have also established my covenant with them. That is a continual sense, not past tense. I appeared, verse 3, unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they are dead and buried. But yet, I have established my covenant with them to give them the land. And if they were to own the land, they're not going to be pilgrims and strangers in it, are they? They were pilgrims and strangers. So the point is this. They must have the land again. This is an important teaching and doctrine of the resurrection. You see, it's there, the resurrection in the Old Testament. Turn quickly to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Martha said unto Christ, I know that he shall rise again. Psalm 16, right at the end of that psalm. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, in verse 9, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life, the resurrection. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David is speaking and speaking through him about the greater son of David, the Messiah also. But also it's about the resurrection, the path of life. And forevermore at God's right hand are eternal pleasures. And finally, the patriarchs, the prophet, David the prophet. And now the poets. Look at Job chapter 19. We know this passage very well. I've mentioned it several times here. Job chapter 19. And we begin reading in verse 23. What apparent about Job is that it's quite wordy. You know that they're all having discourses, and Job says many things. But then he says this in verse 23, "Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book." In other words, speaking to us, applying that to us today, if you don't take anything away from Job, just take this away from verse 23 onwards. "Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book," and here they are on your lap this morning. "That they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever," just like the gravestones. The rock is graven and lead is put in it to last and last and last forever. And lead in the rock forever, that my words, which words? These words, "for I know that my," and the Hebrew there is emphatic for the word I know "that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." You see that his Redeemer liveth. Christ shall be there at the latter day. He's speaking about the last days. He shall stand upon the earth when he shall come in order to set up his 1,000-year rule from Jerusalem. And it says in verse 26, "and though," it's talking about himself, Job here, "after my skin," it's talking about his physical presence, his being, his vehicle for his soul. And that's all his body, and that's all our bodies are. "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh," not just spirit, but "in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself." Again, emphatic, "whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes of flesh shall behold." You cannot but behold Christ. You know, if you're a believer, you shall behold him. If you are an unbeliever, one day you shall behold him in all the terrors of his law, which will come pouring down upon you. But you shall behold him in sweet beauty if you are a believer. "Whom I shall behold and not another, though my reins," that is the thoughts and intents of the heart, "be consumed within me." And look at that. It says there a word, "not another." And the Hebrew word for "another" there literally means stranger. Christ will not be a stranger. When we awake, the psalmist says, we shall be awake in his likeness and we shall be satisfied and he shall not be a stranger. But there's more. Look at verse 26 again. "Yet in my flesh shall I see God." Shall I see God? And in your Bible, it's got capital G and small O and small D, probably. And usually we, in Hebrew, the word for God is Elohim, which is God with respect to him being creator. But this is one of the few instances of not Elohim, but Eloah. And that's Hebrew, Eloah, and that's God with respect to how he ought to be worshipped. And there's an important differentiation with all the various names of God in the scriptures. Let us understand these things. "Yet in my flesh shall I see Eloah," the one who must be worshipped and the one who finally can be worshipped with a perfect heart. So often, I'm sure, if you're a serious believer in Christ, that you weep and wail at your imperfect heart, your besetting sins, and the way in which you fail to worship God as you ought. But when we shall see him, we shall worship him as we ought, and our hearts will overflow with perfect praise. "I shall see Eloah." Going back to John chapter 11, just to finish off. Verse 24, "Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She used that word, the resurrection. She knew. She knew the scriptures and there was only what we call the Old Testament at that time. She knew, like all the believing remnant of Israel. But listen to this beautiful, beautiful verse, probably one of the most important of all scripture. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. All the traditional ancient funeral services, you know, they start with, I am the resurrection and the life. Christ is. He was here now. He had waited. So 4 days later, after Lazarus had died, he had waited for the Jewish people to be gathered around as a witness to himself. I am that which you have read of in the holy word of God. I am the resurrection and the life. There is no life, there is no resurrection outside of me, Christ is saying. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, one day each and every one of us here will die. Yet shall he live, because it's just sleeping in Christ. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. But there's more. And I believe this is speaking about the rapture, verse 26. And whosoever liveth, that means doesn't die in death, and believeth in me, shall never die. So perhaps the Lord will come and take us up to be with him forever. But you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Believest thou this? Christ was saying to Martha, believest thou this morning? Do you know that Christ is the resurrection and the life? Do you not only know it, but have you entered into that life? Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. And I'm thankful that it's such a simple, simple salvation that somebody like even me can believe. Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world to redeem the lost world back to God. And when she had so said, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. He's calling for you today. If you know him not, he's calling for you today. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Will you answer him and say, yea, Lord, I believe. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were there with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she arose hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. This is God groaning and being troubled in spirit, and said, where have ye laid him? Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Lord, come and see. So he went. But it says Jesus wept. Jesus wept, the shortest verse in Scripture. That strong tears of crying, that is. He cried in front of men. He cried in front of the Jewish people. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. Behold, how he loved him. And that so much Christ loves us. Why was he crying? Why was he crying? Christ knew what he was about to do. Why was he crying? Well, we see it in a moment, but he was coming closer and closer to death. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus, therefore, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. The grave. He was coming to the place of death, where death was. You see, death has nothing to do with Christ. Christ is the resurrection and the life. In one sense, death is alien to God. In fact, the Bible says that death is the last enemy. It is an enemy of God. And Christ was coming, groaning in spirit, nearer and nearer to death. Death which had a grip upon one whom he loved. It was a cave. Look at verse 38 again. Jesus, therefore, groaning again in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And I don't think that's an accident. That is a witness to the Jewish people around that the one who is about to speak, that the stone would be rolled away, that nothing could keep him in the grave as well. Do you see? It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. It's no accident that he was preparing the Jewish people for every possible conceivable witness to himself that he is the resurrection and the life. He is God. He is the Messiah. The stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Now, this is where the 4 days comes into it. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. So, the message came from Bethany to Jordan. It took a day. He stayed there 2 days. And then he left, and it took a day, 25 miles, to walk back to Bethany. 4 days. Why is that? It was a teaching of the rabbis, the rabbinical teaching, that once somebody died or would sleep in death, that their spirit would hover around the body for 3 days, waiting for readmission, waiting to see if it would enter back into the body. And after that, if it didn't enter in back into the body, the spirit would go back to God. The soul would go back to God. And that was the teaching. And that was the Jewish teaching of the rabbis. And Christ knew this. He knew everything. And he wanted to be a witness to show that there was no possible, conceivable way that Lazarus could have revived of his own power or just out of medical chance or any such thing. But he was dead, and his soul had gone to God. Indeed, it has gone to Abraham's bosom, down into Abraham's bosom, that part where the souls are waiting for Christ's death and resurrection himself. Now, it says that he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Notice that. You would actually see the glory of God. And he just said at the start to his disciples, this is for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. In other words, another witness to the Jewish people that he is God, their Messiah, the one that should come. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, the Jewish people, the nation which stand by, and that's what this sickness and death of Lazarus was all about, there's a reason for all of our troubles and trials, whatever they are. There's a reason for it, that God may have the glory. Oh, he's speaking to you that you may allow him to have the glory in your life. Surrender to him that he may have the glory. That said I not unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And he goes on to say, it is for the reason of all these people that stand by. And when he had thus spoken in verse 43, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. He shouted out, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. And of course, we often hear about he had to specify Lazarus, or otherwise all in the graves would have come forth, because he is the resurrection and the life. And yes, that is highly likely to be true, but there's more to it than that. Lazarus, come forth. And it says that he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, like that. And his face was bound with a napkin. He was fully bound with grave clothes, completely bound. Lazarus, come forth. And the name Lazarus is exactly the same as Eleazar in Hebrew. And Eleazar and Lazarus means God helpeth. You see, Lazarus, Eleazar, dead in the ground, in the grave, could not help himself. You cannot help yourselves. You will die. And I don't want to be morbid, but there's a little part. Lazarus, perhaps each and every day, he was walking past this cave, not knowing about it, not thinking about it, each and every day, until one day he realized that his name was written on that cave. And there's a little parcel of ground whereby your name is written on it, my name is written on it, and it's calling for us. Death is calling. But you know what? Let's not continue to be morbid, because Christ is the resurrection and the life. And Lazarus, Eleazar, God help us. Don't think for a moment that after they opened the tomb, that Lazarus somehow walked out. That's actually ridiculous when you read what it says. It says he was bound hand and foot. Christ raised him from the dead and brought him forth to meet the resurrection and the life. Do you understand? There is no power. There is no power in ourselves to save ourselves. Christ raised him and brought him forth. He didn't walk out. He brought him forth. He couldn't even see. They had to. It says, look, it says he had this thing over his eyes as well. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. The resurrection and the life. Do you know the resurrection and the life this morning? And let's conclude it in the next verse. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. Have you believed on him? And if you have, what are you doing for him? Unfortunately, some of the buts in Scripture are negative. Are bad. And here is one, verse 46. But some of them went their ways. So some believed, but some went their ways. Some went Christ's way, some went their way. The way of death, the way not of life, and the way not of the resurrection. The Master is come and calleth for thee. Believest thou this morning? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. It is the only true thing in this world. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are able to minister thy word, and we are able to read it, and we are able to believe it, Father. We thank you that thou hast given it to us. We pray, Father, that if there is one here who is outside of Christ, that they would believe on thee. And if there is one who is backslidden, not walking with thee, that they would see the wonderful, precious gift that they have given, and therefore love you, and therefore serve you in return. Help us all to be so convicted, Father. I pray, Father, that you would give us that unction, that zeal to go forth from this place, that we may tell others of the resurrection and the life. We thank you, Father, that it doesn't depend upon us, upon our good works, upon anything that we do. We thank thee that all is in thy hand. We thank thee that thou art the giver of life, the resurrection and the life. And we pray now, Lord, that you would bless us as we go our separate ways. Let us not just consider earthly things, but let us consider these truths, Lord, and know the brevity of this fleeting few breaths that we have here on earth before eternity for us begins. And let us also love serving thee. We thank you, Father, and ask your blessing upon us and the remainder of the service. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. So, Steve, shall we have the next hymn, the last hymn to finish? When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord, our Lord, him, the resurrection and the life, has done. On your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Can I ask, Andrew, Pips, would you close in prayer, please? Thank you.
Thank you.